You'd open your Bibles. Ooh, that come back on quick. Would you open your Bibles to me with me? To Ephesians chapter 6. Steve mentioned we're all getting a little older. I noticed that things have to be a little closer than they used to have to be. Ephesians chapter 6, which I'm not at. Starting at verse, let's go to 16 and go down through. We're actually going to look mostly at the last couple verses, but let's read from 16 down. In all circumstances, in every circumstance, right? Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you all also may know that I am, how I am, and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, to brethren, to brothers and sisters, depending on your translations, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Before we get too much into the sermon today, I want you to look at verse 20. Paul is an ambassador for Christ, right? And from what I have been able to ascertain, he is on house arrest. They didn't have the little bracelet that you could wear around your ankle back then, so he was chained to a Roman guard. And that Roman guard would be changed every now and then. I don't know what the hours were. I've heard 4 hours. I've heard a whole day. But he was constantly chained to a Roman guard. Having said that, we get the idea then where he got the armor that he constantly had to see on these Roman guards. The description, how intense it was, because he saw it day in and day out. He is sending Tychicus, who is going to carry the letter to the church in Ephesus and let them know how Paul is doing. My understanding is also he carried a letter to the Colossae, to the Colossians, and also to the Philippian church as well. Different letters, which we will eventually get into, I think. He also wrote the Thessalonians earlier, not through Tychicus, but through someone else, to encourage them, to tell them to encourage one another and to build each other up. 5:11 tells us in 1 Thessalonians. To this we are also called in this letter. Not exactly those words, but we're called to do that. In fact, this whole letter is about unity, about oneness. It's about the body of Christ building itself up in love, as chapter 4, verse 16 tells us in this letter to the church in Ephesus. Now, Paul opened his letter with grace to you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here at the end, he adds two more words to grace and peace, faith and love. Grace is God's undeserved favor, divine, unmerited assistance. Peace is wholeness and completeness, which we've talked about. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, Hebrews chapter 11. And love, biblical love, agape love, if you will, is a willful, sacrificial, it's intentional action that desires another's highest good. And I stole that from Christianity.com, just so you know where I got it. And it was about agape love, which I think should come up tonight on Facebook for you all to look that over.
But that's where I got the idea. Love is an action. It's something that we do for another's benefit. That's my definition. We put the other person first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Go like this. You're elbowing your neighbor. Whoever you are with at any given moment in that now is your neighbor. Not just the person who lives next door. Your neighbor is the person you work with. It's the person you're sitting with now. It's that person across the aisle. I know they're on the other side. God loves them too. Our neighbors, we have to love. Last week, we looked at one of the biggest schemes that the enemy has and how we are to deal with it. And if you weren't here or you haven't had the chance to watch it, I would really encourage you to do that. We cannot allow anything to keep us from being and doing all that God has for us. We must do whatever is, we must let go of whatever is keeping us from moving forward, from growing, both as individuals and as a congregation of His church. We have to let it go. Forgive. That's what it means to forgive, is to let it go. I had that rock. It's sitting in the office. I meant to bring it out here. That's what holds us back. And it can hold the whole church back when we hang on to something that we should be letting go of. We must be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. We must be strong in the Lord and strength in the might. And if we do, and in order to do that, after putting on the armor of God, we must be in prayer. That's the whole idea of putting on the armor of God. Taking up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and standing firm on the promises of God while moving forward in our purpose, in our growth, and in our relationship with God and others. And that means, as I said, that you have to let go of anything that is keeping you or keeping us from moving forward. We have to forgive, truly forgive, and build on what we have. You cannot take up the sword and the shield and hold on to a hurt, a betrayal, or any sin that was done against you, or any perceived sin, for that matter. We've got to let go of those things. We are to pray in the Spirit at all times. All times. Being led to pray by the Spirit according to the will of God. And that's Romans 8:26. And it is in His strength that we boldly are to go to the very throne of grace. We have the privilege as Christians to go right to God Himself. We don't need an intercessor. We don't need one. Jesus is our intercessor. Guess what? Jesus is part of the Trinity. He's God. So we can go straight to God Himself. And we can lay what we have before Him. And if you think that your prayers might not be right up to par, go read some of the Psalms and what they ask God to do. And some of the things they did were pretty nasty, but they asked God to do for them. We want to remember that He understands where we're coming from, and that we can take anything to Him. Our troubles, our woes, our anger, and lay it before Him. And it is in His strength, that He gives us that grace that we can boldly do that. And there we will find mercy and all the grace we need to accomplish His will in this world so that we can bring the gospel of peace to all who have not heard it. That, brothers and sisters, is waging peace. That is waging peace. And it is kingdom building. Think about it. That's what we're called to do. There's a big go in Matthew 28. The very end there. Go and make disciples. We can only share what we have. He's not asking you to go out and sit down. How does it? You catch him, he'll clean him. Right? You're all fishermen, most of you. You catch him, he'll clean him. We as believers have the very privilege of going to our Heavenly Father, and I want to make sure we understand this part of it, our Heavenly Father in Christ. Ephesians 2. I'm going to back up just a couple pages, and you can go with me if you want, starting at verse 14, and we're going to go right down to the end of the chapter. For he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Now, he's talking about the Greeks or the Gentiles, those who do not know Christ for us, right? But we were brought into that. We were made one, right? Goes on here. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself, in Christ, one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body, the church, in one body, through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Let me back up and read that again. For through Jesus we both have access in one spirit, in the spirit, to the Father. Right, got it. Make sure we get that. That's important. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Saints. Hebrew word, or I can't remember it. I'm not even going to try the Greek word. Pardon me. I'm not even going to try. But it means those who are holy. Okay? We are God's holy ones, his saints. So we get an understanding of that word, why I'm there. Members of God's household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. 1 Peter tells us that we are living stones, that we are being built, that we are a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Through Christ, we have access in and through the Spirit to the Father. In and through the Spirit to the Father. And it is in that privilege that we can claim the promises of God, because as believers, we are his children. How many of you ever promised something to your kid and didn't come through? How'd that go over? God's made promises to us as his children, and he's going to keep them, just like we do our best to keep our promises to our children. Only he's going to keep his promises. There's no wavering there. We have to remember that we can stand firm in those promises, that we can claim those promises, because as believers, we are his children. That's awesome. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, because we are all one in Christ Jesus. And we are to pray for one another, for all the saints, interceding for one another. I pray for my brother and sister, my fleshly brother and sister. I pray for my children. I pray for all of my family, all of you. And we need to pray for each other that we would remain alert, that we would remain watchful for the schemes of the enemy. For he goes about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And you are all someone. He's not after those who are already his. He's after God's sheep. He's after God's children. He's after you. He tempts us to sin. He tempts us to hold on to unforgiveness, to let down our guard. He wants us to let down our guard. He wants us to have that shield set aside, to put the sword down. And then we're right there. We're open for attack. There's nothing to stop that lion from getting you. He and his minions will entice and lure you and lie and conspire to steal your peace, to destroy your witness, and to kill your relationships. He's out to get you. But in the strength of the Lord and the power of his might, we can overcome. We have the shield of faith. We have the sword of the Spirit. There is nothing that can come against us that God can't stop. All we have to do is put on the full armor of God and stand firm and let God move us forward, either spiritually speaking or physically by what he calls us to do. We need to pray that the words may be given to us just as Paul did, so that we may boldly proclaim the mysteries of the gospel, that with boldness, clarity of thought, without fear and in the love of Christ, we would be messengers of reconciliation. We should be the ones we're called to be. There is no one too lost, no one too far gone, that Jesus didn't pay for their sin at the cross. It's taken care of. All you have to do is believe. And believing is putting into action the knowledge that you have received by faith. And it is the church that holds the mystery of the gospel. Us. We do. We cannot look at people anymore according to the flesh, from a worldly point of view. Let me explain what I'm saying here. And I'm going to take it right from Scripture. And this is 2 Corinthians. So if you want to go back a few pages, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. It's Ephesians, Galatians, 2 Corinthians, going backwards. And I'm going to read to you from 5:14. For the love of Christ controls, your translations may say compels us. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. We died and were raised to new life, right? From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Before Christ, B.C., right? Each of us looked at Christ and said, eh, maybe. Or we didn't believe at all. And we regarded him as fleshly, our flesh, regarding someone else in the flesh. And we didn't believe. And then we come to understand, we come to the knowledge, and we start to believe, and by faith we come to Christ. That is a miracle in and of itself. We can no longer regard others around us from a fleshly perspective. We've got to look at them like Christ looks at us and see someone who is in need of salvation, someone whom God loves. Because there's not a person that you can look into the eyes of that God does not love them. They may be far from him, but he's standing right there waiting for them. Just like he waited for us and waits for us. Verse 23. I want to really talk about verses 23 and 24. And these last two verses are actually blessings for the church, right? We understand that. For us, peace to the brethren, brothers and sisters, right? That's what he's saying. Peace to the brethren, to the brothers and sisters. He is speaking to the church, to all who are united in Jesus, who is our peace, as I read to you earlier, right? In 4:3, we were told to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, wholeness. Completeness. I have come to understand that in order to wage peace, that there has to be love. In order to wage peace, there has to be love. Why would you want to wage peace other than love? Peace and love belong together, right? In 4:2, we are told to bear with one another in love. And in 5:2, to walk in love as Christ loved us. Love. We love because God first loved us. I can't help but think that having the love of God poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5, that we are not to keep it there for ourselves, to hoard it. We're to allow it to flow through us. We're to show others love who may never have experienced it in their lives. We are to use it to wage peace. Peace is reconciliation. We talked about that, right? I told you to look at messengers of reconciliation. Peace is reconciliation, and love is the source of that reconciliation. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, right? To bring what? Reconciliation between us and him. Blood had to be shed. Jesus was the propitiation for our sin, the answer to our sin. He paid the price so that we could be reconciled to the Father, and he did it out of love. Should we not be doing the same? Has not that same love been poured into our hearts? Paul's prayer here is that God's love would be connected to our faith. That our faith would work through God's love for us, which, as you've heard me say time and time again, Galatians 5:6, go look at that. It's faith working through love, right? Verse 24. Grace be with all who love the Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible, with undying love, depending on your translations. The question I have, and I always come back to this, is who are those who love him? Who are those that love him? We could all raise our hand and say, I love the Lord. Love is a verb. How are you loving? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. Or translation again, you will obey me. You obey all that I command. And that's John 14:15, by the way. As we walk in obedience, we receive the blessings of God's grace, that unmerited divine assistance, right? That's the Holy Spirit living within us, his favor. We are strengthened, helped, and guided because of his love for us, because of the grace we get because of his love and our love for him. Loving God and knowing his love, we walk in the knowledge that all things work for our good. Right? Romans 8:28, for the good of those who love him, right? All things work to the good of those who love him. This is that agape love that I was talking about. And every time I say that word, all I can think of is a guppy. Just had to be said. It's agape love. It unites and heals. It is the basis for the why and how in waging peace. It is the unconditional love of God that has been poured into our hearts. Unconditional love that is to flow out from us. Even to that person who just grabbed my bread and threw it down. Oof. Pet peeve. I don't like having my bread squoze. I want it to be nice and neat when I make a sandwich. And that person who's having a bad day could just throw it in a bag. And we have to forgive them. I have to forgive them. And I need to talk with them. And not in a bad way. Come on. Just give them, you need to give them the benefit of the doubts. And you need to ask, are you having a bad day? And they'll usually tell you whether they're having one or not. And then you know what your next words are, need to be? I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray for you. And did you say a quick prayer? And God, please let my bread get back to the size it needs. We can relate to that. All of us can. We've been there. Oh. What is keeping you? What I want you to ask yourself this. I really want you to think about it, not just now, but throughout the week. What is keeping you from growing in Christ? What is keeping you from building on what has been laid down for us by the prophets, by those who have come before us, by that cloud of witnesses? What is keeping you from building on that, from growing in your relationship with God? And how active are you as a part of His church? How are you waging peace? That's what it comes down to. How are you waging peace? I will tell you that the gentleman who spoke, how do we refer to him? He referred to himself as the hobbit from the Ozarks. He's about this tall. He's the one that started a whole lesson on waging peace, which really had nothing to do with this, but the words stuck with me. And there's a lot more to this in how we deal with others that have made themselves enemies for whatever reason, who are distant from us, that we need to reconcile with. And we'll talk about that in another future date. But for now, let's deal with what's keeping us from being what we're called to be and doing what we're called to do. Because I have to ask myself that every morning. Am I in God's will today, or is Kenny going Kenny's way? Am I doing what God's called me to do, or am I doing what I want to do? Am I laying down my life as Christ laid His down for me, out of love and mercy? Or am I being headstrong and stubborn? You need to ask yourselves that. And if you are carrying something you shouldn't, come put it down and leave it at the foot of the cross. Leave it so that you're not carrying it, so that it's not holding you back. Would you stand as we go to the Lord in prayer and the praise team comes up? Almighty God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, You and You alone are God and Savior and King. And Lord, we humbly come before You today, thanking You for all that You've done for us. Thank You for the new life that we have in Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And recognizing, Lord, that You have called us to be messengers of reconciliation, to wage peace, Lord, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, in all things, Lord. Make us bold in sharing Your love. Make us bold in our witness in sharing the mysteries of the gospel. Help us, Lord, to be ambassadors for Christ. We are not chained as Paul was, Lord, and yet he still managed to share the gospel. The only thing we're chained by is what we're holding on to. Help us to let go. In Jesus' name, amen. God is so good. And He is so faithful. And He loves you. And He wants what's best for you. And He's with you through. No matter what you're going through, He will get you through it. Not necessarily around it.
trust him. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we are truly grateful for the life that was given and the blood that was shed. We're thankful, Lord, for your presence, for your guidance, for your love and your mercy and your grace. We're thankful, Lord, for the faith we have because all of these things come in through and by you. And Lord, increase our faith. Help us to walk closer with you, to lay aside our wants and desires, and to be fully and completely sanctified unto the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us this morning. Thank you for the time of fellowship that we are about to partake in. Thank you for the food. Just, Lord, we just praise you, for you are God and Savior. And we ask these things and give you praise in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Pastor?
Yes, ma'am.
We would like to help package up the food tomorrow.
Sure. Be here about 1:30-ish? 1:45? Yeah, that would be very, yeah, we'll need the extra hands. Mindy and I will be here. Anybody else volunteering right now?
I'll be here.
Mom and Mindy? Gary and Barb? Good, good, good.